This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Are you driving your car or doing laundry right now? Podcasts go best when they're bundled with another activity. Like Progressive home and auto policies, they're best when they're bundled too. Having these two policies together makes insurance easier and could help you save. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save nearly $800 on average. Quote a home and car bundle today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $793 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2021 and May 2022. Potential savings will vary.
The New Yorker Radio Hour is supported by the Sympathizer podcast from HBO. From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr., The Sympathizer is the new HBO original limited series based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel of the same name. On the Sympathizer podcast, join host Philip Nguyen in conversation with the cast, crew, and author Viet Thanh Nguyen as they discuss the making of this historic series. Stream new episodes of HBO's The Sympathizer, Sundays exclusively on Max, and listen to the Sympathizer podcast wherever you listen to podcasts.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Nicholas Britell is in his mid-30s. And he composed his first film score 15 years ago. He took a little career detour. He spent years in finance as a currency trader. But he kept writing music all the while, and eventually he broke into the mainstream with The Big Short, a movie about the financial crisis. And last year, his score for Barry Jenkins' Moonlight was nominated for an Oscar. Britell's latest project is Battle of the Sexes. It's about the 1973 tennis match between Billie Jean King and Bobby Riggs, starring Emma Stone and Steve Carell, and it's just come out.
It's Bobby Riggs.
Bobby? How'd you get my number?
Called every hotel in San Diego. Listen, I had a great idea.
Okay, well, it's after midnight, Bobby, so can we talk another time?
You and me, Billie Jean. 3 cents, 5 cents, your choice.
Are you drunk, Bobby?
No, of course not. How about this? Man versus woman. Male chauvinist pig versus hairy-legged feminist. No offense. You're still a feminist, right?
I'm not interested, Bobby. Good night.
Don't hang up.
By the way, I shaved my legs.
The New Yorker's Henry Finder spoke with Nicholas Britell.
In the old days, it seems to me, most composers, when they weren't writing sacred music, were writing in the service of story. You think of Henry Purcell in the 17th century. He becomes the greatest English composer writing incidental music, theater music, ballet music, opera, but it's all serving story. And Beethoven was obsessed with his Egmont music, which is what? Soundtrack to a play. So to me, movie music is actually the great tradition. It's music's highway. It's not the byway.
I think that idea of musical storytelling is really interesting because for me, one of the things that I love about movies is they provide this amazing form to inspire music. It's totally possible to write music on its own, sort of abstract, you know, music. But I've just always found that the interaction of all those elements moves me. Sometimes I feel music more strongly actually in that theater context than I do outside of it.
Yeah, I want to get to that idea of the interaction of elements. But what I'm kind of jazzed about right now is Battle of the Sexes, this movie about Billie Jean King and her match against Bobby Riggs, which you scored. And this is
yes.
A very music-forward film. I mean, this movie is like a piano concerto in the key of tennis. that Billie Jean King cue.
Mm-hmm.
And the way it builds
yes.
and develops. This is what it got me thinking about. One thing was the amazing power of the piano and orchestra combination. It made me think about that 1945 Noel Coward film, Brief Encounter.
Yes, yes.
David Lean directed, which uses the Rachmaninoff's second piano concerto.
Absolutely.
And, of course, Vangelis's Chariots. And what is it that makes this combination so powerful?
That's a great question. I mean, I think for me, I remember When I first heard the Rachmaninoff Second Concerto, you know, you mentioned from that film, I remember I first saw it, there was a Van Cliveren piano competition that they aired on PBS, I think in 1990, maybe. Mm-hmm. And that summer, I had a VHS of it, and I watched it. I must have watched it, you know, twice a day for the entire summer. And that year, it culminated with a performance by the pianist Alexei Sultanov performing the Rock II. Mm-hmm. And yeah, my whole world that summer was the Rachmaninoff Second Vienna Concerto.
That's perfect.
So for me, I've always been drawn to you know, piano orchestra combination, and I think the concerto as a form itself is something very fascinating because it's dramatic in and of itself. It's almost like a dance that happens between the more forward virtuoso instrument and the orchestra. And I think in a lot of ways, the best concertos are the ones where that interplay is most integrated. So I'm definitely drawn to that sound, but I always try to, at the beginning of a film project, figure out what, you know, what is the sound of this film? And for Battle of the Sexes, the sound of the piano was something that Jonathan Dayton, Valerie Faris, and I, the directors and I, we were drawn to it. Over the course of the film, the orchestration evolves until by the time you reach the match, it's a full symphony orchestra. And the themes that you've heard in a more intimate setting earlier in the film are now writ large on a full orchestra.
Yeah, I was so struck by that. The piano concerto as a form can almost be like a tennis match at times. And it felt like you had to up the stakes even further. At a certain point into that match, you switch from piano to organ. So it's like we're in a cathedral now and we're enlisting the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost to go where we need to go.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite moments in the film, actually, is in that match where you hear that organ. We wove that in earlier in the film. It's very in the background. It's actually more of like an accompanying texture to some of the very early scenes.
Yeah.
And it has that sort of featured moment central in the match. And there's something about that too, where thinking about sort of like the scope of an orchestration and how you make something seem very big. Mm-hmm. And one thing I've found over time is that sometimes more is actually less. Adding instruments to a point makes things very large, but there's a real power I find to pulling everything out. And, you know, sometimes just a solo piano or one note on a violin on its own can feel massive.
So let's talk about another film you worked on. You were nominated for, won several awards for your score for Moonlight, you know, the Barry Jenkins film about the three stages in the life of this African-American boy growing up gay in Liberty City, Miami. And music is so central to that film. What kind of brief did you get from Barry Jenkins?
That was an amazing experience to work with Barry on Moonlight. So from our first conversations, we were already kind of brainstorming ideas of what might happen. But I had read the screenplay before the film was shot. And musically, the early conversations that, you know, we had, there was an idea, I think, in Barry's mind that he really wanted real instruments. He wanted this to be a score that had a human feeling. From pretty much the very beginning, Barry had told me about his love of chopped and screwed music, which is a style of Southern hip hop where you take tracks and you slow them down. And when you slow the track down, the pitch goes way down. So there's this totally deepened and enriched musical texture that the audio takes on. We were just like, what if we did that with a classical score? Like, what if I recorded my own music and then I took those recordings and applied that chop and screw technique to them? And that's one of those ideas, I think, early on where it sounds interesting, but also you never know. It could work, it might not work. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the really exciting things there, one of those discoveries, was that when we put those ideas up against the picture, they totally worked. It felt like a musical evolution that was so interlinked with the evolution of Chiron. And those are those moments that I think you really, you know, artistically, you sort of live for those moments where something just feels so right and so connected in a way.
To me, an astonishing shift is when you really start to mine these Baroque textures. There's another cue from Moonlight. I'm thinking of the middle of the world. And the violin is doing these virtuosic arpeggios. And I think we're in D minor. And so you think of Bach's D minor, Chaconne, or even that passage in Sibelius's D minor violin concerto toward the end of the first movement with those rapid broken chords. And it's like we're not in Liberty City anymore. And I wonder, how did you get there?
That was a really important scene in the film. And that was one place where my initial thought was actually pretty different from where we wound up. My initial thought, I was seeing the swimming sequence where Juan is teaching Little to swim. And I had this idea of what if this was a moment of uplift? This was a moment of potentially a sort of happy memory of childhood. And Barry said to me, you know, this is a baptism. This is the beginning of the rest of his life. So there's something about the violin cadenzas, you know, mm-hmm. talking about concertos again, but there's something about a violin soaring in that way that really moves me. And I remember I was with Barry in my studio in New York, and I said, what if we did something like this? And I started playing these arpeggios using a violin sample just to show kind of what it might sound like. And immediately Barry was just like, keep going with that, keep going. And right there, I actually wrote this with him in the room there. We, you know, it just happened totally organically like that together.
Yeah, I was listening through the soundtracks of a lot of the films you've scored, and often there's a kind of a spare neoclassical feel that comes back. But when you scored The Big Short, Adam McKay's movie about the 2007 financial crisis, there are a lot of elements that are just crazy, these sort of playful, upbeat melodies, a mouse click symphony, and some big, funky stings like the cue for when they go to Vegas. Actually, let's hear a bit of that. Seems like you got to have a lot of fun with Big Short. I mean, what were some of the challenges of scoring that film?
The Big Short was so much fun to work on. To see what this movie, this sort of incredible wild ride through the financial crisis. You know, what was the sound for that movie? And in The Big Short, there's actually a huge range of styles. There's no one sound to that. Right around when Adam was shooting the film. He had said to me that something he was wondering was, what is the sound of like dark mathematics. That was his idea. What would that sound like musically? And so I experimented with taking a piano and layering it with like six other pianos and running it through vinyl and then overlaying it with a hip hop bass. So that started to be some of this feeling of the over sophistication of the financial products.
Something you've said a couple of times is the idea of not knowing what the answer is, a sense of a plenitude of possibilities. In general, it's like some film composers are known for a very particular type of composition, the John Williams, the sweeping orchestral thing in so many Spielberg movies, Michael Nyman's minimalist scorings, Philip Glass, I say, you know, he's as recognizable as Vivaldi. You're like a chameleon. I mean, you're not a one-trick pony, you're a 127-trick pony. Is that a gift or a burden?
I think when I was growing up, I always wondered, you know, what is my sound? Like, what do I sound like? And I think it's only in hindsight, in a way, that I see things in myself that I'm drawn to. Mm-hmm. Part of that, too, is just the world we live in is so complex. And with technology, there's really an infinitude of possibilities. Whereas historically, classical era, there were styles of the time. You know, there were much more set bounds to certain ways of writing music. I think today for composers, there's no form. There are no rules. So that does present its own challenges because, you know, what do you do? So I think for me, film gives you a set of constraints, mm-hmm. you know? Each film is its own set of constraints where we say, okay, you know what? We're going to be exploring the financial crisis of 2008. What does that sound like? I think, you know, Stravinsky wrote about that in his Poetics of Music, where he talked about how restraints can be so liberating, actually. And I fully second that feeling.
Film composer Nicholas Britell speaking with The New Yorker's Henry Finder. Britell wrote the score for Battle of the Sexes, which is just out.